views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Sinner Genetic Living Radio is a conscious reality creation journey. Tune in as Rick and Grace Paris teach you the innovative approach and new philosophy that will shift your entire paradigm of what it is to be a human being. Sinner Genetic Living is a living, breathing, conscious experience. As a shaman for 20 years, Rick Paris has been guiding people to fuller existences since his first workshop in 1995. He is well-versed in a wide variety of healing arts, including being an Enneagram expert. Grace Paris serves synergetic living clients powerfully and beautifully by embodying the fundamental role of a feedback provider, graciously guiding people to their own realizations and higher purposes. On this show, Rick and Grace will share with listeners the key to unlocking the infinite potential of human consciousness in order to create a life of preference. Learn to author your own destiny with Synergetic Living Radio.
Happy Friday, everyone. This is Grace Paris, and I'm here with Rick.
Good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you are right now.
Yeah, we're coming to you live. This is Synergetic Living Radio. Stay tuned with us for the next hour and let us help you experience a new philosophy, a new way to heal yourself, and a totally new approach to life. Each Friday on Synergetic Living Radio, we will have new and exciting solutions to everyday problems in this time of massive change and chaos. And we come to you live. So if you're interested in calling in, you have questions or something you want to talk about, 800-930-2819. And today, Rick and I are going to continue our conversation on change. I know we had talked about it a couple weeks ago, but we had a caller, so it kind of fell short. And there's so much to it that we thought we would touch back on it and elaborate a little bit more.
Yes. So synergetics is a process, and it's an ever-expanding process. You get a piece, you spin that plate, you get another piece, you spin the plate. And as you get each piece, it gets easier. It's a complex system, not complicated, but complex in order to answer the complexity of who we are today. And so change requires four steps to make any change: the recognition, acknowledgement, understanding, and forgiveness and change. What most people are attempting to do is recognize the issue, understand the issue, and move on. And of course, as everybody knows, you just repeat the pattern, repeat the pattern, repeat the pattern. So the basis is, even neurologically, what happens the minute you have a gestalt or a recognition or a cognition, it is because in your mind, you just fired a new neuroreceptor. And that neuroreceptor doesn't have a path, but the cognition, the aha, that feeling is the moment that you all of a sudden recognize there's something more to what I'm doing, or, you know, something of that nature. And so what happens is common psychology doesn't address it. What they do is go over the issue again and again and again, mostly until you're just so sick of it, you just stop worrying about it. But that doesn't mean the pattern ever goes away. What they're trying to do is get you used to the pattern so it's not disrupting you. What synergetics does is eliminate the pattern.
Yeah, it's like common psychology teaches you how to circumvent it or deal with it rather than just eliminating it altogether.
To heal it. And it's not avoidance. It's not a reframe. None of those things work. So the most important part of that, of course, they're all important, and all four steps create the synergy for change. But they all have to be conscious, and they all have to be willful. And so to recognize there's a problem, yeah, that's great, right? Boom. Fires a neuron synopsis. Boom. I have it. I gestalt. And then what happens? I don't really have anything, but I have the capacity. In a way, you have a freeway of behavior. That gestalt is an off-ramp. That's all it is an off-ramp. It doesn't do anything, but I can actually now travel down the frontage road. I can actually look at the freeway from the other side and understand. Well, one of the things that happens is because most common psychology, for instance, doesn't recognize that you are a we focused as an I, but you always have to see big picture, small picture. You're a we functioning as an I. You're just not an I, and you're just not now. Really, your future creates what you do now. All the motivation you have is in the future, unless, of course, you're in a pattern, which means you're taking the past and you're throwing it out in front of you out of a fear or a limitation, and you reoccur. It reoccurs. It's precisely because you're throwing the past out in front of you and re-experiencing it. So like I tell my clients, if you do something more than twice, you're in a pattern. You're in the past and you're in a pattern. So that's just a way to recognize. So we want to recognize, boom, synopsis, off ramp. Now to understand and acknowledge, I have to know that this behavior that is limiting me at one time when I was a lesser being freed me. And now because of the tension and the resistance, I'm angry and I'm upset and I feel limited. But there was a time in your life that it was a positive experience. It was a way to compensate for a problem that worked. It's just that it's a static compensation. So as you grow and change, your compensation stays the same. It's a program. So as I'm understanding, I have to understand the high side and the low side. And I have to get to the point that I recognize that this limitation was something I placed in the past. I decided. And that's where the power is, because you really can't forgive someone else for an action in the past unless you actually forgive yourself first, because you're the generator. You're the creator. You're the one that, even if it was some heinous thing and you couldn't protect yourself and you see yourself as a victim, as a child, you still allowed it. You still allowed the thing to happen. And that's where the power is. I have to recognize, okay, I got to come up with a new strategy, one that's more suited to me. But there is a gift in why I placed it in there in the first place. And so if I can't figure out why I put that pattern in the first place, what's going to happen is I'm not going to be able to heal it. I may recognize the problem. I may understand the problem, but I can't end the problem because I'm not going to continue without the gift. There's a gift. And a lot of times in the past, these patterns are created out of a fear. And it's a strategy to overcome a fear. But behind that fear is the gift that you've always been wanting to reincorporate in yourself. So until you can get to that point of understanding the low side, I understand all the limitations because I'm living them every day, right? So those are easy. The hard part is understanding what the high side was. So I can eliminate the negative, reinforce or redirect the positive in a more integrated way, integrated with the future that I'm after, the freedom in the future, the healing in the future that I'm after. So forgiveness is that point that releases the past. And see, common psychology doesn't do that. They don't understand that it's the forgiveness. And first, they even understand that, you know, you have to forgive all the perpetrators in your past. Well, it's hard to forgive them when you don't understand your part in it. You don't understand, what did I do? What didn't I do? How would have I wanted to react if I were, you know, able? And since the past isn't real, it's a remembrance. You put it back together, as you know, as time changes, so do my memories. It's not real, but you can rewrite it. You can rewrite it and hang your hat on something else. Or what oftentimes with our clients, and this is why I ask them to write things down, because at the current time, that resistance that you're, that strategy that you're in is disharmonious. It's creating dissonance. Disharmonious. It's disharmony. It's dissonance. And that's why you know it's going on. But as anybody knows, once you have a healing, sometimes you'll read back in a journal and go, oh my God, I forgot I was doing that. Because once it's truly healed, what you're doing is creating a harmony again. So there's nothing. The past kind of disappears. You don't necessarily even have the memory. Of course, you can reinstill or at least experience that memory again, but it won't be the same. It won't be coming from a program out of a limitation. So what happens oftentimes is we even forget we had that problem because we're now in harmony. There's no reason to have the problem. The reason the problem exists in the first place is because you need to move past it and you don't know how. Well, once you recognize, understand it, understand what I have to forgive in myself and then another, then I have the capacity to let it go, for real, let it go. Not a reframe, not a compensation. And when that's done, you won't have the issue anymore. So since forgiveness is something that everybody tells you, hey, you got to forgive, but there's no process for it. And oftentimes when an issue is a small issue, yeah, you can move right past it, boom, because you really don't know in your head, what is it that I'm actually doing in order to forgive? So the basis of this show today is going to be an exercise and an inquiry, not really much of an inquiry, actually. It is, but it isn't. And what is forgiveness and how do I create the environment to let something go? How do I understand forgiveness, which is in a way is similar to trust. People are always telling you, trust, you just got to trust. Well, if you don't know how to trust and you don't know what the steps in the process are of trust, which is kind of like the grief process. Everybody knows that's been through a death and gone through the healing of that death knows you've got to grieve. Well, grieving is a process. It's not a function of time. Time doesn't heal wounds. It's a process that heals wounds. And if you understand the process, you can shorten those times and you can get better at releasing these patterns rather than leaving it up to time, which again, time really is no function in it at all, unless that's the way you think it works. So we're going to talk about forgiveness today. We're going to talk about what does it take to forgive? What are the process of forgive? So I can actually get better at forgiveness. And if I can get better at forgiveness, I'll have the key. And truly the magic of change comes out of the magic of forgiveness. That's where the power is. And until you can understand that and incorporate that process, you're not going to be able to release things with an elegance and an ease. So we're going to talk about that today. So in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and take that first break. Stay with us and hopefully we can help you change in a much more elegant, sophisticated way. Okay. Thanks for hanging in there. 1-800, what is it?
930-2819.
Thank you.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant, Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
What is a brilliant culture and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you searching? Looking for a sign? A message you need to hear? From the great unknown? From the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are? The universe put someone here to talk to. Someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
Hey, we're back on Synergenetic Living Radio, and we're talking about forgiveness. But before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to get a hold of us right now because we're live, 800-930-2819, or you can find us on the web at synergeneticliving.com.
Okay, so before we get into the process of forgiveness, what I want to talk about a little bit is the reluctance and to understand that forgiveness, there's a lot of resistances to forgiving, and they're come out of judgments, fears, and previous pain. So we want to just take a little bit of time here and talk about why wouldn't I forgive, or why couldn't I forgive, or you know, what would be some resistances? Because of course you're not going to have all of these resistances. You're not going to, but you might, while we're going through them, you might really realize, you know what, I think I do that one. Because again, if you don't understand why you wouldn't do it, you may not be able to do it easily. You won't have that elegance and ease that you want, because forgiveness is something that without it, change is really impossible. Again, if it's a small thing, it's really easy. You don't even recognize what I'm doing to move past this. But when it's a big thing, when somebody's really hurt you or a relationship has gone in a direction that you of course didn't anticipate, and you're like, I have to forgive the other, you know, and part of being in a relationship, and we call that the fast track to growth. And so many people are so willing to move on. And I'm good being single. I'm better being single. You're really not better being single. Most of you are not better being single, because if you're single, you don't have a measuring device. You don't have a mirror. You don't have something that's going to show you your projections and your resistance to life. So when you make something very valuable, very significant in your life, what's going to happen is your projections and your issues are going to come through the relationship with the other. So the relationship is the thing that you want to create and really understand that you're both nurturing a relationship. It's not about the other person loving you properly or you loving them properly. And so these resistances have to be understood.
Yeah, so I'm super excited to be giving you this information. And just if you're listening to this, I'm so happy for you, because it really is such an elegant way to grow and change. And there's a good chance if you're listening to this, you're ready to take the next step. It's like, okay, you know, maybe I know how to create this or that, but to take that next, like to go to the next level, forgiveness has to be done in earnest. It's like, it has to be a genuine tapping into this force of forgiveness. So listen in and try to put yourself in these scenarios, because really one of the biggest resistances to forgiving is seeing it as a weakness. Like, it's almost as you're admitting that you've been defeated. It's like, it's a judgment.
Well, it's also weak to certain personalities out there. It's like, that's the easy way out. That's just the weak, soft way out. And, you know, I'm not going to do that. You need to suffer, or you need to be punished for a certain amount of time. And that time is till I feel like, you know, it's weak. It's like, it's too easy. Like, what, I can just make a big mistake and just forgive myself, or you can forgive and it's over just like that.
Right.
And we want to say, yes, it's over just like that. But if you see weakness as forgiveness as a weakness, as a last minute ditch effort to try to get past it, you know, like, oh, I'm defeated, so I guess I got to forgive you because I don't know what to do. It's not a weakness. It's a strength, because the real strength, the real, real strength is why when you see the paradox of a lion and a lamb lying together, who's the stronger one? The lion resisting its urge to eat this lamb, or is it the lamb going in front of the lion. And so what it's really teaching you is vulnerability is the true strength, not resistance to. And so if you see forgiveness as being weak, you're not going to want to incorporate it.
Right. And to tag on to that, it's too simple or it's a cop-out, you know.
Yeah. It's just too easy, and it's really because you're not strong enough to blank, fill in the blank.
Right. And it could also be seen as condoning the behavior. It's like, well, if I forgive you, then that gives you permission to do that again.
Right. Exactly. You know, and so that's the adolescent, really.
Sure.
It's the adolescent that's really attempting to keep themselves safe and, you know, and making understanding that to trust someone really means they have to be perfect. And if you're not perfect, I'm not going to trust you, and therefore you don't deserve forgiveness. So that's the first one. The second resistance to forgiveness is it's arrogant to think I have the ability to forgive. And this comes from the Christian Judeo ethic.
Yeah, this is one I got locked in for a long time. Church had me buying into only God can forgive. So it's arrogant of me to think that, like, I have that power, when really it's arrogant to think that you don't. Like, you're holding on to it kind of like a club.
Right. And so only God can absolve people, you know, because we're all sinners. We're all damaged. We're all less than perfect. And therefore, who am I to release somebody? Who am I to forgive? And again, it connects again to, I'm going to be able to be at sufferance. If I just can keep forgiving and I'm really good at forgiveness, what's going to make the other person grow? What's going to just let them screw up again and again, and I'm just going to keep forgiving? Well, if you really think about it, if you did have the power to just keep forgiving and stay in the relationship, how powerful would it be for both of you? The unconditional love the other one's receiving, and for you, the unconditional love that you can give yourself and the other to receive. Now, that doesn't mean you keep putting up with that.
Exactly.
If the person's not changing, that's a different issue. That's you not receiving the intimacy of the relationship. What's going to lead you so into another aspect, a deeper issue. But if you don't want to go through forgiveness, you're never going to get to the deeper issue that's going on. So you don't want to get stuck in, I don't really have the power to do that. The next resistance.
I kind of jumped ahead, but it's seeing forgiveness as being just too simple. Like, could you imagine if I just forgave and everything changed and I didn't have to be hooked into that past and relive this over and over again? Like, no, it doesn't work that way. And so that's a resistance. It's like, no way it could be that easy. And we're here to tell you, yes, it can be. And it's elegant and it's beautiful.
That's why we're teaching you this, because it is. This is one of the biggest hangups people have to change, is just not really understanding how powerful the act of forgiveness is. And as you know, even in the biblical sense, forgiveness is a big part of the changes in any religion comes from the forgiveness. But if you understand that tool and you know how to utilize that tool, you'll be able to move beyond and you can forgive. And again, like they say, you don't forget it, but you're not harboring. You can forgive them and not forget it and go, okay, this is a problem. I don't want to live in the past. I'm going to move on. But how can we resolve this problem together? Like, I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm going to let this go. And this is not a pattern I really care to continue. So what can we do? And as many people know, it's the shame that causes a problem to come up again and hide it from the other. It's the shame that is the reason a person won't be open, honest, and vulnerable. They're too afraid. They're afraid of being judged. And when that forgiveness is a powerful tool in relationship, it releases that judgment. The person has the ability to be more honest because of, really, to me, that unconditional love comes out of the function of forgiveness. And I just want to say, unconditional love is only one aspect you have to incorporate, to be wise and to be an adult in a relationship, there has to be unconditional love and conditional love.
Right.
I can't drop conditional love. And that's what a lot of people do. They're going for this dream, this ideal that I just want somebody to unconditional love me and I want to unconditionally love. But without conditional love, you can't create this safe environment. You can't create an environment that's trustworthy. So another resistance can be, I don't want to dredge up this old stuff and this hurts and these angers in my past. I don't want to find out what's under this sleeping giant of pain, because oftentimes, as you know, this issue keeps reoccurring. I may stuff it in my unconscious or stuff it in my subconscious, and it's water over the bridge. Why would I bother to bring this up again? Because
yeah, so many times I've gone into conversations with people and it's like, well, why would you even want to bring that up again? Well, because it's unresolved
painful.
And it's painful and it's hurting. And obviously both of us need to go through this or understand it better. But yeah, a lot of times it's just, it feels like an emotional abyss and I've put it behind me. So why on earth would I want to go back there and revisit it? Well, because it's there and it needs to be addressed.
And if you can even say that, like, I don't want to bring right there. You don't even have to go any farther.
Yep.
If you say, I don't want to bring that up again. That's telling you that this is harbored inside of me. This is a pain that I'm dealing with day after day. It's under there. And if I can really think, I don't want to bring it, it's Pandora's box, or it's just going to happen all over again. Any of that is telling you there's still a disharmony inside of you. And as people always say, oh, I'm trying to lift my resonance. You can't lift your resonance when all this stuff, you're dragging it around like a big cart of crap behind you every day. And you're thinking, I'm a better person. I'm trying to be, I don't want to talk about that. I just want to be a positive. I just want positive people around me. Well, when that resonance of all these dissonances and all this pain is floating around, you can try to change your immediate resonance all you want, but your chronic resonance, what I like to call it, the resonance that I really live with, all this stuff is part of it. And since it's so painful and so stuff, it's far more powerful in your expression than you have any idea. But we're going to take a break. We have a little bit more to say on that, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life?
Yeah.
Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
Take your own journey with the angels with Claire Candy Hoff's heaven-sent guided angel meditation CD. Letting go of concerns and living in the now. This beautiful CD walks listeners through practical exercises to help free them from the burdens, worries, and concerns of daily life.
Walking a quarter of the way across the bridge, you see a bright emerald green light and sense a loving presence. This is Archangel Raphael's green healing energies, nourishing and revitalizing you. Take a moment now to bathe in this green healing light.
Giving you much more than just relaxation and stress release, this wonderfully narrated CD provides vivid visualization, soothing and inspiring music, and an angel's choir that will bring you peace, clarity, and a newfound awareness. Visit angelhealinghouse.com today.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
High frequency healing for an amazing life with Source Light Radio. Join host Laura Barton each month on Transformation Talk Radio as she explores Source Light integration, a unique spectrum of energy, light, and frequency. Experience instantaneous healing and amazing shifts in consciousness with Source Light Integrations Radio. For more information on Laura and her work, visit sourcelightintegrations.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey, we're back on Synergenetic Living Radio. So if you're just tuning in, Rick and I are talking about the force of forgiveness, and where we left off was the resistances and the reluctance to forgiving.
Right. And if I don't understand what would be the thing that I would resist, I may not really even bother to get into it. So there's another one last one, resistance, that I can tell you of now. And there may be others, okay? These are just general. Most of the time, people are going to fit in one of these pieces. But there's also many, many other things. But one of the scariest thing about forgiveness is when you release that pattern, something is going to die in you. It's an old way of being, and it's a way of being that you have been involved with sometimes for decades. And so it's what you'd call a root emotion. That pattern has created a root emotion in me of not trusting, or always feeling abandoned, or always feeling like I end up getting rejected, or I'm the one that's always giving, and I don't know how to – these boundaries that forgiveness is going to strengthen you. And so – something is going to die inside of you, and it's going to be a constricting emotion. But that constricting emotion has been a big part of you. It's been a theme. It's been an underlying, it's like in a TV show. There's always an underlying theme to what's going on, and it's like that for you. So these big things that I need to release have been a theme, and there's going to be an empty space inside of you. You know, you're going to, and that's scary, like, and especially when you realize the power that's involved in forgiveness, you have to be able to deal with that. And if you're not willing to let an aspect of yourself die in that change, is any change technically, if it's real, something has to die, something has to let go, something has to be released. And so it's a, when you do it properly, it's a literal death, because that's out of your resonance pattern. So you're going to feel off. There's going to be a, because imagine in music, if you pulled one note out, the whole chord falls apart. So in essence, there's a part of yourself, a constricted part of yourself that you're used to, that is going to be dead.
Right. I think the key word in there is used to. It's so easy to get caught in our comfort zones with that. I feel like the real thing that scares people in this scenario is when something dies, it leaves room for something to regenerate, and we don't know what that is. I mean, yes, that's your job to direct that and kind of paint that picture, but it's the unknown. And anytime we're faced with the unknown, that's scary because it's unknown.
And it's very scary to the adolescent, because the adolescent's personality and character is based on an amalgamation of others. I'm not grounded in that. So when I lose a piece of myself, it really shakes the adolescent up. It's like, why do I feel I'm different? Well, the adolescent isn't going to understand what the difference is. When you're the spiritual adult, it's easy, because what happens is your values lift. You get more self-esteem because you really understand, wow, this is out of my resonance. I feel better. I feel different, but I'm more able to incorporate my values. I may even get an entire new value just out of the process of forgiveness. So you want to be able to understand that something's going to die when you have strong, if you have a strong personality, character built on character and integrity, it's going to be easy to incorporate what that new thing is. And so we're going to move on to, what do we got?
Well,
here?
We got a couple more. It was like what,
oh, you have some.
Yeah. What Rick was talking about earlier. It's like, well, if I forgive and that condones the behavior, and now I'm finding myself in a relationship with a guy that's constantly cheating on me and I'm having to forgive, or, you know, whatever, you fill in the blanks. But it's like, what's the obligation? What do I have to do once I forgive? It's like this idea of having to be perfect. And like, now that I've
And you can't punish the other one. You know, right. It's like a lot of people are using that. You fucked up. Oops, sorry. I'm not supposed to say it on the radio. You screwed up and you're not supposed to, you know, they have to suffer. I have to go through this whole process. And if I'm really hurt, they really got to suffer.
Right. And if I forgive them, I don't want to be friends with them. Like, I don't want to continue a relationship. And you're not required to.
It's to release you.
Exactly.
Forgiveness is to release it out of your resonance field. It's to release you and to be able to make a better choice. I can make a better choice when I've forgiven them. Do I really want this person in my life? Maybe I don't after this.
Yeah, because if you continue to go like that person unforgiven and yourself unforgiven, it's like you're keeping someone in prison along with you.
Well, mostly yourself. Imprisoning the other person is, who cares?
Right.
It's you're imprisoning yourself. Because, you know, the person who's in prison the longest in the prison system is the warden. He's in prison for 30, 40, 50 years till he retires. So you're the warden in this. You're the one that's going to release yourself and release them. But really, 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 it's about you letting it go. And so if you want to punish them, you've got to stay in that day after day until you're willing to let it go. And that's just control and power over and domination and fear. There's all kinds of things, but we don't want to get into that.
The real mindset shift is seeing it as freedom, your own personal freedom. And then the last one is really the fear of loving and caring. It's like, I desperately want to be, I want to love, but I don't. It's this tug of war. So yeah. And that really has to do with the definition of love is suffering. And that comes from the Judeo-Christian ethic of, you know, go ahead.
Yeah. Imagine forgiving someone and you're releasing yourself. You're right back to love. I'm loving myself and I'm caring about myself and it's loving. How many people have screwed up really bad and they just want to move past it? I'm sorry, I really am. And the person is not moving and they're controlling and the relationship is hindered because of something I did. But it's not the pain, the punishment that gets you to not do it anymore. It's understanding what I'm doing to the relationship. And so it's a fear that I'm going to be a more loving, caring person. And maybe I'm more loving than them now. And then that, what does that mean? I'm the one that's always loving and caring. You don't worry about that now. Because if you really love and care yourself and the person's really hurting you and is not getting it, you got to move on out of that very love and caring. So you want to be the loving person. You want love. You don't want to be in a tug of war. You don't want to be doing that day after day. Or some people, I've met people that have been in that situation for years. One of the spouses is punishing the other for a behavior that happened so long ago and not getting over it. And it sucks. And then one day you find out that the problems we've been having all this time are because of this thing that happened way back. And that's why you've been acting like this for 20 years. So yeah, you want to let that go. You don't want that to be part of your. So we're going to get into the stages of forgiveness. And these processes is what we're going to go through now. And the first process to forgiveness is you have to think about it. And I'm going to make a point to this later, but being we're looking at ourselves as a we in Synergenetics, I'm not an I. My child is a living, breathing aspect of who I am. It may be existing in another space and time, but it's an aspect of what makes up my whole, just as my adolescent is, just as my critical parent is until I remove that, just as my negative ego, my ego, negative and positive. It's a part of who I am. And so I have to think about that. The first step is to think. I have to think about what it is that I am going to forgive. And you have to be coming from the perspective, I got to think of my contribution. They might have done da-da-da, but what was my contribution? What pattern am I experiencing that I've already experienced again that's getting louder each time it expresses itself because of the desperation internally of me wanting to get past this? So I have to think. And you might end up thinking and realizing You know what? The first time this happened to me was when I was 8 years old with my dad, and my dad abandoned me, or my dad rejected me, or my dad didn't. And this is what I'm really experiencing all over again. And so the first step in the process is to think, because that thinking, what you're wanting to do is motivate the emotions. You've got to access those emotions that you've been stuffing, that are hurt and in pain. And so in that thinking, I'm going to be generating, because we really don't have one or the other.
Yeah, and this is a really willful step. It's like, okay, you know what? I recognize there's this pattern. Now you have to, this is where the strength and the vulnerability and the courage really comes in. I have to think about it. I have to define and delineate what it is I'm forgiving, and really recognize, like, what's the emotion behind it.
Yeah, you're really not thinking about what they did to me.
Right.
You're trying to figure out, here's this pattern that I'm looking to release, and I need to think, where is it coming from? How many times have I experienced this sort of thing? It could be in different arenas. I've experienced it with a boss. I've experienced it with a girlfriend. I experienced it with a boyfriend. I have to figure this out now. So I have to really take some time to think. And of course, what you're looking for in this thinking of searching in yourself are the replicated feelings. Because soul and spirit are always in combination. They're always synergistically creating. Soul waits for spirit. Spirit searches for soul. And together they create. Together they create. So thoughts are spirit. Feelings are soul. And so the mind has to direct yourself emotionally. And so what you're thinking about is, you're trying to get into that pain. I'm trying to get into the pattern. I'm trying to gain clarity emotionally. That's what I'm really looking for, because until I can define that emotion, I'm not going to understand where the pain is, what's getting replicated, and I'm going to have to take that apart now. And so oftentimes when we're working with people, we teach them about changing beliefs and going through the subconscious. Well, inevitably what happens is they start recognizing the language they're using. Like if you're journaling, for instance, and you make a statement about something, but people are just this, people are so stupid. That was one that we had with a client yesterday. People are so stupid. Just everybody's so stupid. They need to wake up. And the belief is people are stupid. And in synergenetics, we are going off the tenet that belief precedes experience. We're going to take a break and we're going to come right back to this in a few minutes. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in a bit.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset diet and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit SarahMaine.com.
Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern, and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.
This is Grace and Rick, and you're listening to Synergenetic Living Radio. If you're just tuning in, we're diving into the process of forgiveness, and we had mentioned that the first step is really about thinking and delineating what it is you want to forgive.
Right, and this is a lot to get through in a 45-minute show, so I know I'm going kind of fast, but this is what we do with people when we work with them. So I want you to get as much as you can in this time to at least have a better understanding. So again, we were talking about thinking. I have to think about it. And once I find those feelings, now I know where the root is. And so once I get to the root of this feeling and I get to the time, I have to understand in the third step of forgiveness is, what did I learn? Like about who I am as a person? Because
I want to back you up, because I think what's really important to say about the thinking generating emotion is you want to look for the intensity of it, because that's what programmed it in the first place.
Your subconscious only programs itself off intense emotion combined with a thought. That's simply, and when you were a little kid, your feelings were so all over, you didn't have the boundaries that you do as an adult. So you programmed yourself very easily. So yeah, in that thinking and feeling, thinking first step, feeling deeply second step. And now what do I learn? What is about myself? Was I stubborn? Am I determined? I'm a very willful person. Or, you know, I can turn a really painful situation into a high side. I can look for there's something you're going to learn about yourself in that pain. You know, it's not always a negative thing. It's negative now, but at the time, like I said, when you came up with this, lots of times it was creating an environment for me to survive in the best possible way. So what do I learn about myself through that feeling? You know, maybe I learned that I can really hold a grudge, or, I can get really angry and be driven by that anger after that, because a lot of people got hurt in high school emotionally in relationship, and they're still hurting and they're still punishing people today. The fourth step is a meditation. The fourth step in any process is the most determined position. Now, I'm not going to go into that. I give people a very clear, concise meditation. I don't have time to go through the meditation. But the reason you're going into a meditation is to go into the more real. Technically, physical reality is an electrical response from your outside measuring devices, your senses. And so when you're in your mind, you're actually in a more real place. And that's something we talk about in depth to the people we work with. But you want to get to the place where you're understanding physical reality is the end result of the equation. Content is following context. So when you're on the inside of yourself, you're actually in the context. I'm in the way I framed everything. So in the forgiveness, you go through this forgiveness process to release the person. But the person you're releasing is yourself. because you're going to find out something in that 8-year-old. I have to forgive them that that was the only strategy they had. And as the adult, they're the ones that have been tagging me back. They're the ones that have been in pain all this time. They didn't know how to I have to forgive that part of myself. And that's what that thinking, feeling, and learning is about. I learned where this came from. I understand now. So you go into a meditation to get in touch with that aspect of yourself that you're going to reincorporate. You're going to reincorporate that part. And there's something, you know, again, like earlier when I was speaking, you have to grieve. Something's going to be dying in you. And I'm going to try to give those steps a little quickly, but not at this moment. But I'm going to add that at the end. Because once I come out of the meditation, now I've thought about it. I felt it. I understand why the pattern was there and what did it say about me. I learned it. I went in there and released the me that made that decision, that limited decision, or at the time, like I said, it wasn't limited. But you can't live an 8-year-old's mentality when you're 35 years old. That's what a lot of people are getting stuck in. They haven't learned that. So,
and then on the other side of that, you found a strength. It's like I've found a gem, my will to survive, or my will to create, you know.
Yeah, what's behind the pain? What's behind the pain is the gift. That's what you're looking for. That's why you can't move on many times from a situation, a pattern, because what's really happened, I haven't figured out what the high side is. And by taking this apart, thinking, feeling, learning, now I know the nugget. I know what I was trying to protect myself from, that I want to go in deeper now. So as you come out of the meditation, you're not done there, because now that I've changed, now that I've forgiven, now that I'm ready, what action do I want to take? Like, who don't I have to be anymore? What don't I have to do in my relationship? Who do I not have to pretend I am anymore? I don't have to be so afraid. I don't have to be walled off from people. I don't have to be so defensive when this comes up. Those are the things you want to take apart now. You know, I can stop doing something that I've been doing so long because I've gone through this process. And so, what action I'm going to take? What am I not having to do? Like, I don't have to be jealous. I don't have to be weak. I don't have to, I can stop being some thing, some way, just stop. I don't have to manipulate anymore, perhaps. You know, I don't have to have this chip on my shoulder that every time I go here, I have to get in a fight or protect myself. Those kind of things. So what are the feelings I'm going to have now that I don't have to be this anymore? Which is what you're doing, is you're moving into the future. Like, how am I going to be now that I've forgiven myself? How am I going to act in my relationship? How am I going to act toward my boss? How am I going to act toward authority figure? How am I going to act toward myself? So you're going to feel that again and realize, wow, this feels amazing. I can really see how I can be someone else. I can deal in another new way. And this last step of the process is to hold that. Once I have released all that, I want to hold this new resonance, this new idea, and start living it, incorporate it, because you've got to make the new construct more significant. You've released the old one, but it's still there. It's still there in a pattern, but it's not there emotionally. It's not there to hook you in, but you could go down that path. So you want to just make conscious choice all the time.
Right. You've got to make it matter by choosing it.
And matter is significance in physical reality. I got to lighten up, or I got to make something matter more. That's really that balance between movement and character. You know, you want to have values, but at the same time, they have to be flexible. So I just want to say really quick, and a lot of people who understand the grief process, you can Google that, you know. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross came up with a grief process. It's 5 steps. So when that something dies, when you recognize that death, you're going to go through the grief process. And the forgiveness process gets 2 more steps to the grief process. You're going to go through the denial, the rejection, the anger, or the anger and the rejection. People go back and forth in that, but they're both different. You might go rejection, then anger. I might go anger and then rejection. But you got to go through those emotions. You're going to go through the guilt. You got to go through feeling guilty that you didn't do it before, or guilty that I was punishing so many, including myself, and I don't want to numb myself. You know, then to go through the bargaining stage where I'm going to bargain. I got to bargain with this problem. Sixth step is the depression. The depression that sets in after you realize how much pain and how much suffering, how much time has gone on about this. And then the seventh step is that disorientation. And that's that chaos. Like, this is dead of me. And now what do I do? I've got to reintegrate. I've got to integrate myself now because I've been propelled through this process into change. And it's my new self isn't clearly defined yet. So I've got to go through that forgiveness process, which is similar to the grief process after I come through taking it apart.
And it might seem like a lot, but it really is so elegant, and you'll move through things a lot quicker.
It's just like a recipe. You know, the first time I got to look, I got to measure, I got to figure out how to bake this cake. Oh, my God. And you do it again, and it's a little easier. And then third or fourth time out, you're like, you blow right through it. And you know what to do. Forgiveness is exactly that. You've got to create a pattern and watch that it works, and then just duplicate it. You just duplicate it. You go through the steps, and you'll just get better at it. And before long, boom, you can do it in a second. You can do it in 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and plus a meditation. But you really can move through it quickly. It doesn't mean you have to do a meditation every time. But we're out of time. Thank you so much for listening. And I love helping, and I hope that I am doing so. And remember, you can always call in and show. We can work you through an issue.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure being here with you. Be sure to find us on the web, synergeneticliving.com. And join us every Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. And we'll see you back here next week, Friday. Have an awesome week.
Bye.
Tune in on Transformation Talk Radio for the latest on Synergenetic Living Radio with Rick and Grace Paris. Learn how to get clear on the life you desire. Synergenetic Living is a living, breathing, conscious experience. Rick and Grace will teach you the art of utilizing the future to create the now with a sense of artistic and absolute power, having dominion without domination. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, or to download an episode of Synergenetic Living Radio, visit synergeneticliving.com.